This is On the Media. I'm Brooke Gladstone.
And I'm Bob Garfield. NPR's new president and CEO, Vivian Schiller, officially took the reins of the company on January 5th, soon after NPR announced the cancellation of two shows and layoffs of what amounted to 7% of the staff. But financial troubles are not the only challenges that Schiller faces in her new role. Another is how the web will affect NPR's vast network of member stations. As NPR becomes more and more about content available anytime on the internet and less about appointment listening on the radio, member stations are wondering how they fit into the future of NPR. We're also wondering. Vivian, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
So the economy is tanking. Your endowment has lost God knows how many tens of millions of dollars in value. The digital revolution is wreaking havoc on all media. Hey, Vivian, congratulations on the new gig.
Hey, thanks. Great times all around.
Okay, enough small talk. Can we get to the immediate crisis? The revenue situation for National Public Radio at the moment is pretty bleak. At a time like this, can you chart a bold course to the future?
At a time like this, we have to have a vision. We have to rethink what we're doing. To quote, you know, Rahm Emanuel, which is not something I'm used to doing, but I'll do it here. A crisis is a terrible thing to waste.
What's your vision for NPR 5 years from today?
The vision is very much what it is now, which is to provide non-commercial, unbiased news and information and entertainment programs to people in every city, town, campus, community in America. But it also is incumbent upon us to take the same qualities that people love about NPR and try to transfer that to the web and fill a void in media right now, which is local news and information, local tools, local resources combined with national, international news gathering.
Local, local, local. As your predecessor, Ken Stern, learned the hard way, NPR's structure is an immense obstacle to what would seem to be a logical transformation to the digital world, because the network gets most of its revenue from member stations who, at least till now, have seen digital media as more of a threat than an opportunity. I mean, if you started to stream All Things Considered online in real time instead of at 7 p.m., Eastern, for example, you'd have to hire bodyguards, right? And for good reason.
Yeah.
You'd be siphoning off local audiences and their pledge dollars. How can you reconcile the technology of the brave new world with the financial structures of the cowardly old one?
Look, NPR online should be not a monolithic place that is in competition with the stations. It should become a network of 300, 400, 500, 800 local sites that together form the public radio system. And the way that I am going to develop our digital path is to be the enabler for the local stations that they can have the tools they need. We will collaborate with them on news gathering so that once we're done with this plan, if somebody types in npr.org in their browser, it will take them directly to their local site. And there they can listen to All Things Considered streamed. And there they can get NPR news from around the world. And there they can get the kind of local resources, tools, and information that their station is providing. We need to completely change the paradigm around this.
I'm curious whether the transformation from where we are now to whatever life will be in public broadcasting in the near and intermediate future, do you think it will be gentle, noticeable, violent? What?
Well, I certainly hope it's not going to be violent. There's some things we need to do right away. First of all, we need to test a lot of these concepts, which we are doing in terms of the kind of digital collaboration. We're setting up a, you know, what we're calling a coalition of the willing to launch pilot programs for this idea with some of the stations, big and small. We are testing national local news collaboration. That's an area we can grow. And then one of the biggest things we need to tackle, and I do not have an answer for you on this yet, I'm sorry, is we need to figure out how we can work together to raise money because, you know, at the end of the day, this needs to get paid for.
Everything you've said makes absolutely perfect sense, and it's more or less exactly what your predecessor, Ken Stern, told me about a year ago. And, you know, he ran headlong into about 1,000 Mack trucks going in the opposite direction. What can you do differently with respect to your relationship with the stations that will give you more political success in carrying out this vision?
I can build trust. there's some caution from the stations to NPR and vice versa, frankly. I'm a great believer in the power of the local station and what it represents in the community. That is something that doesn't exist in media. So when the stations hear me say that I think that NPR's role is to enable and facilitate local stations to present their content with whatever content of ours they want to take, customized to their community, and it's not Big Brother coming in and saying, here's how we're going to do it. Those are the kinds of things that begin to build trust. At least I hope so, because that is what I want to do.
Vivian, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Vivian Schiller is the president and CEO of National Public Radio. And man, do we wish her well.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.